Amen. Thanks, Brother Calvin. Take your Bibles this morning, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy and chapter number 6 this morning, and I sincerely appreciate you being in attendance and being faithful, and I'm looking forward to our time together in God's Word this morning, Deuteronomy and chapter number 6. We continue in our series, Parenting with Purpose, and what a joy it is that many of us in this room experience to have the privilege of being a parent and educating and nurturing children for God's honor and glory, and maybe some in our class that are preparing for that day in their home in the future, if the Lord would allow. But whenever the Lord allows that, or maybe currently is, we want to do so with purpose. And that's what we have been studying, parenting with purpose. Today, we're going to look at discipling our children. And then, as I mentioned, next week, we'll wrap the series up with the thought of reflections from a father. And that's going to be a real special treat. I'm going to encourage you to be here, invite a guest and a friend, and that'll be a wonderful time together. And then 2 weeks from today, on July 7th, we begin a brand new series entitled Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. It's an in-depth study of Ephesians 5. I am immensely looking forward to it, and I have been reading and preparing and studying and excited to dive into that, and that'll be a little lengthier study, but I think it'll be helpful to all of us in strengthening the relationships that mean so much to us. Well, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6 this morning. Deuteronomy in chapter number 6. And before we do that, let me read to you this. This is entitled The First Parent. And Bill Cosby and a comedian, and probably not all of this stuff would be stuff we could read, but this is good and humorous, entitled The First Parent. Whenever your children are out of control, you can take comfort in the fact that even God's omnipotence did not extend to his own children. After creating heaven and earth, God created Adam, and then God created Eve. And the first thing he said to them was, don't. Don't what? Adam asked. Don't eat the forbidden fruit, God told Adam. Forbidden fruit, really, where is it, God? It's over there, God said, wondering why he didn't just stop after making the elephants and why he had to continue to create until he got to Adam and Eve. A few minutes later, God saw the kids having an apple and taking a break, and he was angry that they had disobeyed. And so he said, didn't I tell you not to eat that fruit? God asked Adam and Eve. And Adam just kind of looked at him and said, what? And then he said, well, why are you eating it? He said, well, because Eve gave it to me. And God asked Eve, why are you eating this fruit? And she said, I don't know. And God punished Adam and Eve with the greatest punishment he could think of, by allowing them to have children of their own. And you know what? Sometimes we look at our kids, and we look at their actions or their decisions or their choices or what they're doing, and in the back of our minds, I think sometimes we think, I know what's going on. I remember the way I treated my mom and dad, or the way that I did this or the way that I did that, and God has a great memory and a great sense of humor. And so the Lord allowed that to happen, and the Lord allows that to happen still today. And by the way, what you sow, you shall reap, and what you invest, you shall reap a harvest from. And we want to be careful in our own lives that we are sowing good seed for a good crop and a good harvest. We want to be sure we're teaching our children that. Hey, what you invest is what you will get. The seed is in the ground. And so we've been studying parenting with purpose. Last week we looked at delighting in our children, and parents who purposefully parent, who strategically invest in the lives of their children, also are involved in discipling their children. Look at this tall order given to parents in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This passage in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 7 speaks of the parenting, of the training, of the teaching that God expects of you and I in relation to our children. And one thing he describes in this verse is that it is to be constant, that we are always to be imparting truth into the lives of our children. We're reminded in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we are to be dedicated to training up a child in the way that he should go. And the way he should go is not a question mark. The way he should go has already been established by the Lord. God has a will for everyone's life, but now over 90% of God's will for your life and mine is the same, and it's found in this book. In other words, it's God's will for us to be here this morning. That's the same for me and for you. God wants us to be in church. It was God's will for you and I to read his word this morning. That's the same for me and you. It was God's will for you and I to spend time in prayer with him this morning. That's the same for you and I. It's God's will for me to love my wife. And that's the same will for every husband in this room. It's God's will for my wife to reverence her husband. And that's the same will for every wife in this room. It's amazing how much of God's will is universal for all of his children. And it's found in his word. And so we want to know his word. We want to know his will. And then we want to transfer that. We want to teach that to our children. And this is a significant responsibility in parenting, taking on the role of discipling our children. So how can we do it? How can we do it effectively? And that's what we're looking at this morning. First of all, I want us to see what we need to do prior to discipleship. Prior to discipleship. Before we engage in authentic and intense and tenacious discipleship of our own children, what is it in our lives that needs to be there? Before we as parents can properly disciple our own children, what needs to be existing in our lives? How can we model for them what a disciple's life looks like? And I want us to just look at a couple of things that need to be in order if we're going to disciple. We know the old adage that our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. And we would love it as parents if we could say to our kids, just do what I tell you to do. And they should. But I want to tell you something. What will forever ring true with them is what you do. Your example and your life will speak so much louder than the words that you say. Because what you live is really what's important. Because what you live is really what you believe. And by the way, one of the things that cripples most homes is hypocrisy. We tell our children, this is what the Bible says. We tell our children this is the way life should be lived, and then we live an entirely different life. And we expect them to discern and to see through all that and to somehow still do right. I'm telling you, it's crippling homes across America. And may God give us in this class a heart that says, God, we want to obey you. We want to obey your word. And whatever your word says to do, that's what we're going to do, and that's what we want our children to see in us. And so, prior to engaging in this discipling effort of our children, what is it that we need to have in order? First of all, letter A walk with God. A walk with God. And by this, I mean a daily time in God's word and in prayer. You and I cannot teach our children that which we are not doing. Many Christians are like travel agents. They're sending people to places they have never been. And as parents, we cannot afford to do that. We need to model for them an authentic Christian life. One where we are walking with the Lord, and then we are sharing with them what we have learned, what we are developing and growing in our own lives as well. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8 in your notes. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Let's say those three words together. Ready? Begin. Day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And let's read this last part together. Ready? For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I think we all meet in here this morning wanting the same thing. We want prosperity and success in our homes. But I don't mean the square footage and, you know, the kind of plush carpet and paint. Who cares about all that? What I mean by that is what really matters, and that is a home that's honoring the Lord, a marriage that is solid, and children that are going to please God for the rest of their life. We want that kind of prosperity and success in our home. I think you do. I know I do. That's why we're meeting here this morning. That's why we're opening God's Word. That's why we're taking notes. That's why we're learning. We want that kind of home. Well, look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says, if you'll be in the Word of God every day and night, you shall have a prosperous way, and thou shalt have good success. Not maybe, not might. It's a guarantee from God. So God says, if you'll get in this book every morning and every night, you're going to have success and prosperity. But again, that just sounds too easy. Try it. Try it. It's a tried and true principle and guarantee by God. And it sounds easy, but try it. It's not as easy as it sounds. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take work. But I'm telling you right now, this has to be part of our lives. We've got to model this for our children, because I don't know about you, we want our children to be doing this. And our children are young. Mariah is 8, Lydia is 7, Annalene is 5, and Joseph is 3. And we have been working with them on their personal devotions, and it has been a blessing this summer to see them get up, and we've kind of created a little spot. And my wife does amazing all this stuff. She's got them devotional books, like journals, and they can write down what they read that day or something they learned, and they've got a page for every day and so on. But they're enjoying getting up and having their own time with the Lord. And that doesn't make us a great home. They need that because they have us as parents. You know what I mean? But it's something that we want to instill in them, a walk with the Lord. And we must have it as well. So a walk with God, a daily time in God's Word and a prayer for us to model for them. Let it be, attend church faithfully. Attend church faithfully. And we've been reminded in Hebrews not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. It's impossible for you and I to disciple our own children without a commitment to faithfulness in church. Let me read that again. It is impossible to properly disciple our own children without a commitment to faithfulness in church. Why? Because they're going to quickly learn that church is a big deal. Church is where Jesus went. Church is where all of the work of the New Testament happened. It's churches they were planting in all these areas. And that's where major decisions were happening. And it's where God tells us to go. So we cannot truly be dedicated to discipling our children and then not even go to church. And I'm preaching to the choir because you're here right now, but I want to encourage you, good job, and be here next week and the week after and the week after and the week after and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and just kind of develop the culture in your home. For me and my house, when the doors are open, we're going to go. I mean, if they're having a work night to clean the janitor's closet, we want to go be a part of it because it's at church. And it's the place to be. I had the privilege of growing up at home just like that. And I thank the Lord for it. We were at the church all the time. We spent more time at church than we did anywhere. We were always at church. But I thank God. And I suppose there were years in my growing up and developing that I didn't always share that same appreciation for it. And by the way, the Bible does say foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So that's not to say I was right. But I can look back on it and be appreciative. And I know this. I had a mom and a dad with a conviction for church. It was never questioned in our home when we went to church. I never heard one time in my growing up, are we going to go today? Do you feel like going? What do you think? Never. Ever. Just that vocabulary did not exist. It just, in the home I grew up in, I knew I grew up with a mom and a dad with a conviction about church. We were going to go. And it didn't take five people in the family to stay on little Susie and the sniffles. You know, we just went to church. And sometimes maybe someone didn't go for a legitimate reason, but we just went. My dad was old school. You'd rather crawl in than call in. You know what I mean? And I'm thankful for that. And by the way, our culture and generation needs some of that. And our children are needed as well. But I grew up in an environment that way. And I'm so thankful that I did. And I want to create an environment that way. And that's not a militant, oh, we have to go. Hey, God's blessed our kids. Sunday's the best day of the week. Man, we're going to go to church twice? Today's awesome. Oh, Wednesday, we only get to go once. I mean, you know, it's the place they want to go. It's great. It's wonderful. So we need to have a commitment to attend church faithfully. It's good for them to see us going, growing, making decisions, using the altar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Letter C, modeling a Christ-like life. Model a Christ-like life, a Christ-like living. As we're walking with the Lord, as we're attending church faithfully, we're modeling for our children what a Christian walk is all about. And again, they see us go to church and they see us read God's Word and spend some time in prayer. But it's important that 24/7 our children see you and I living for the Lord. And no one in this room is perfect, and especially this teacher. And we're all going to make mistakes. And it's good for our children to hear us say, hey, I'm sorry. You know what? We probably shouldn't have gone there. That was my bad. We're not going to go there again. You know, we probably shouldn't have watched that. I should have turned that off, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry our family was involved in that. That wasn't edifying. It wasn't the best use of our time. It's probably not what we should have been doing. I just want you to know I'm sorry. We're not going to do that again. Our kids need to hear you and I fess up when we mess up. We're not going to be perfect parents, but we want to model Christ-like living. So when we mess up, when something slips or something happens or whatever, and they're there, we don't want to act like that didn't happen. And, you know, we're just the greatest thing in the world. Hey, we're human. We're imperfect. We're going to mess up. Hey, that shouldn't have happened. I'm sorry. We want to model that Christ-like living. We want them to see it in us. As the Apostle Paul said, his followers, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And may we be able to say that to our own kids. Follow us as parents, as we follow the Lord. So before we can even disciple, we need in our own lives to take an investment and an inventory this morning. How's my walk with God? Am I daily in His Word? Am I walking with Him? How's my church attendance? Am I faithful? Am I committed? And am I here when the doors are open? Am I making extra? Did you know the Sunday evening service is different than the Sunday morning service? Did you know the Wednesday evening service is different than the Sunday morning and the Sunday evening service? Here, pastors preparing three completely separate, individual, unique messages for our spiritual growth and benefit. And one of the prayers for my class is that we are a always here kind of a class. Not just a fair weather, you know, kind of there when it's fun, but just we're always there. We're always in our place. We're faithful. Why? Because we're fervent about growing in the Lord and then modeling a Christ-like living. Once we are working on ourselves, then secondly, we can enter into the process of discipleship. And discipling our children is the classroom of a lifetime. It's a constant process, and it's the answering of questions, it's the teaching of truth, it's the pointing out of the principles of God, and it will only happen if we're deliberate about it. Some parents can parent their children from infant to 18 and never disciple them. So it's not an automatic. It's something that we're going to have to purposefully do, which is the theme of the whole series, Parenting with Purpose. So how can we be involved in discipleship? Well, first of all, it's going to take the element of time. It's going to take time. You're going to have to schedule some time to disciple your children. Now, we schedule lots of things. We schedule maybe our rest. We schedule our work. We schedule our meals. We schedule all that. But we need to schedule time to disciple our children. Well, Brother Roy, I don't have any time. Well, I encourage you in Ephesians 5:16 to redeem the time because the days are evil. And here's how you create time to disciple your children. What do you mean disciple your children? I mean read the Word of God with them. I mean taking them to church. I mean taking them sowing. I mean serving the Lord with them. I mean teaching them things of the Lord, teaching them life, teaching young men to be a man, and teaching young ladies to be ladies, and these types of things. They need discipling. Where is this time going to come from? By evaluating where all of your time currently is spent and eliminating anything you deem less important than discipling your children. That's what comes. We all have the same amount of time in the day. There's a lot of busy people in this room with a ton on their plate. I get it. But we all have the same amount of time. God hasn't given us 25-hour day yet. So we're just going to have to evaluate the time we have and how we're spending it and say, God, help me to determine what is less important than discipling my own children and eliminate it so that I have the time to do this adequately for you. It's going to take time. Let it be. It's going to take a plan. Discipleship requires time and then intentional training. What are we going to teach our kids? What are we going to cover? What are we going to do in discipleship? Brother Rule, in our homes. Well, I think you've got these in your notes. Here's a couple of good ideas. Number one, read some good parenting books. Read some books on parenting. Read some books. Brother Schmidt has a new book out, and he's got a couple of them. A pastor has a book on the home. There's a lot of good parenting books right here at our own bookstore, two floors beneath us at this moment. And so we want to read good parenting books, and they'll fill our hearts with subjects and ideas of things that we can teach and things that we can train and things that we can cover in our home. Secondly, consider what you struggle with. Stop and think about when I was my child's age, what was life like? What was I thinking? What was I going through? What was I hoping somebody would have told me? And then teach, consider. Sometimes it's difficult for us to remember. We were a kid. We were there. And we want to remember some of that and then share those things with them. Thirdly, consider where they are in life and what's coming up next and prepare them. Consider where they are, what's coming up next, and prepare them. Look down the road. What's coming ahead for them? And then help prepare the way so that they know how to navigate with what's coming and make sure it's based on the Word of God. So we have to have time. We have to have a plan in the letter C. We have to have perseverance. Perseverance. Discipleship determines the fact that we're going to engage in the lives of our children, even when it comes to the toughest conversations and the most difficult things most parents don't want to deal with. There's a lot of things parents would like to just kind of keep off limits. Let's not deal with that. Let's not talk about that. Let's not engage in that area. But you know what? We have to. We have to roll up our sleeves and get involved in the lives of our children and help them. If we see in our child a rebellious streak or a struggle with anger or something that comes out that in their demeanor or their language or their spirit or their countenance, we sense there's a problem. We can't just chalk it up to, well, you know what age they are, and all kids that age are that way. No. We need to engage, get involved, talk. Hey, what's going on? Are you okay? How's your heart? Are we okay? Is there something that I've done to offend you or to upset you, to make you angry? Is there something mom or dad did? Are you upset about something right now? And just find out what it is. And that's going to take time, but it's going to take perseverance. Because they're probably not just going to open up everything the first time you ask and tell you everything, and then you're going to be married and go your way. It's probably not going to work that way. They're going to kind of be like, oh, I'm fine, or, you know, not a big deal, or whatever. And you're going to have to work. You're going to have to dig. We'll learn this in the marriage series, but it's that way in marital relationships. We often can say to our spouse, yeah, we're good. We're lying. We know we are. It's not good. We don't feel like it's good. We want to talk about it, but we don't want to act like we want to talk about it. Because we want to know the other person really wants to talk about it. So we want them to really work at getting us to talk about it. Because we really want to talk about it, we don't want them to know we want to talk about it. That's dwell with them according to knowledge. It's the school of marriage. It's awesome. Every lesson is something new. And sometimes it's that way with our children. And we want to dig deep and we want to learn. Dads, I want to encourage you, talk with your sons about life struggles. Do not let your son learn the principles of life and character and integrity and the treating of a lady and all of that from his buddies, from the school classroom, from the locker room. Dad, you should preempt all of that. I encourage you to read the book, Parenting Today's Adolescent, by Dennis and Barbara Rainey. One of the chapters is when you should talk to your kids about what sexual thing at what age. It gives you a little chart. But be involved in that. We don't want, and God forbid, our kids learn about life from the media. You know what I mean? I mean, they're learning more about relational stuff from the sitcoms at night than they are sometimes in our home. God forbid. Man, let's turn that junk off and let's teach. Dads, be sure you're engaging your son in these types of conversations, preparing him, letting him know, hey, you know what? I wasn't perfect, but I want you to please God. I don't want you to honor God with your life, and I want to help you. Make sure he knows you are his spiritual leader, and don't just say it, be it. Be it. If you're looking for motivation to consistently walk with God, look in the eyes of your kids. We're losing the next generation because all they see is hypocrisy. I don't know about you. There's four, Jose, I really don't want to lose. Mariah, Lydia, Annalena, Joseph. And I grew up in a pastor's home. And I grew up in a pastor's home where I know I could spend the next 5 hours telling you about pastor's homes that are a disaster. And I don't think I'm better than them. Luke, in a lot of ways, I think I'm worse than them. I look at my life and quite frankly, I just say, God, this isn't going to happen without you. Because I know a lot of men much better than I am, and their kids bolted. And I don't want that to happen. I don't care if this class makes 500. To me, all of those things dwindle in comparison that my four kids genuinely, authentically walk with God for the rest of their life and please them. So if that's my heart's desire, and I believe it is yours as well, then we're going to have to get involved in this thing. We're going to have to persevere. We're going to have to converse. And then, as we're running out of time, what is, thirdly, the product of discipleship? What is the benefit? What's the advantage to taking inventory and walking with God and doing all that ourselves, as an example, and then engaging in their lives? Why do this, Brother Earl? It sounds like an awful lot of work and an awful lot of time, and it is. But the reason, letter A, because it gives them a solid foundation. Your children will have a solid foundation. The Bible says in Psalms, delight in the law of the Lord, in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Don't we want our kids to be those trees that are rooted right by the stream of the things of God? I do. You do. We don't want our kids to be divorced. We don't want our kids to have rebellious kids. We don't want our kids to walk away from God and shame the things of the Lord. Nobody in this room wants that. Okay, well, it's not just going to happen. We're going to have to decide. We're going to have to train. We're going to have to be a model and example. But if we do that, if we commit to it, if we get involved in it, God will soften our hearts. They'll be able to have a good marriage, a good home, and have those things because the Lord gave to them, because they're seeking Him. Secondly, they'll have a proper biblical worldview. They'll have a proper biblical worldview. You know what's happening? History is being rewritten. The history of the United States of America is being rewritten. My wife and I, we had a day after leadership, and we went to the Ronald Reagan Library. I had never been. We spent 4 or 5 hours just going through and reading about his leadership. And I'm sure there's things about his life you probably wouldn't agree with. But I'm telling you something, that man had conviction. That man stood for something. And he made a difference. And I'm telling you, today, nobody stands for anything. And the philosophy culturally is to kind of get out there and see which way the wind's blowing and go that way today. And if it changes tomorrow because we don't want to offend anybody, then we'll just go that way. And wherever the current's going, we'll just kind of get in line because we don't want to stand out. But the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. I want you to be a peculiar people. I want to pick you out of a crowd. I want people to know you're mine and I am yours and you're living for me. And I'm telling you, our kids need a proper biblical worldview. They know the value of life. They know the sanctity of marriage. They need to know what a work ethic is all about. They need to know these things. They're not going to get that from any other place than you and your relationship with God and your knowledge of His Word. And then, thirdly, we'll give them a purpose and direction unmatched by their undiscipled counterparts. It's amazing how many young people leave the home and go to college and have absolutely no idea what they're going to do. What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you studying? I don't know. What are you going to do with your life? I don't know. Where are you going to be in 5 years? I don't know. Nobody knows anything. You want your kids, the Bible says that arrows, and the children are like the arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Now, we'll talk a lot about keeping that quiver clean and right. We'll talk a lot about making sure the arrows are straight. But I want to tell you a critical part in parenting, the release. I'm for the quiver being clean. We're learning about it. I'm for the arrow being straight. I think kids ought to know the Bible. But I want to tell you something. As we continue on this journey, the release of that arrow is a critical part of parenting. Having that purpose, having that direction. Say, Brother Gabe, what is it? Look at Revelation chapter 4 and we're done. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You know what our kids are here for? To bring God pleasure. You know what our kids are here for? To bring God honor and glory. And for the specific things, the Bible says in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We are here to please God, and all the specifics are right here in His Word. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to give our kids an appetite for discipline and a desire to please God and an understanding that, quite frankly, if they'll please God and if they'll live according to this book, they will enjoy life on a greater level than most people could ever fathom, and they will have value, impact of their life that few people ever know. But that will never happen unless we model. And it will never happen unless we teach. So let's leave here this morning and say, God, help me to model. Help me to be authentic and real and walk with you and to model the things of life. And help me to teach and eliminate things out of my schedule that are preventing me from having time to teach and disciple my own kids. And then help my kids to have that foundation and that love and that direction that God wants them to have. And may God help us more purposefully this week to parent and to disciple our kids. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together in your word. Thank you for those that are here this morning. What a joy to gather together, to grow together, to minister together, Lord, to pray one for another, to encourage one another, and to consider this morning our desire to come and to learn and to grow and to sharpen our home. God, we pray that you'd help us to parent with purpose, to disciple our kids, to roll up our sleeves, to persevere, and to make a difference in the lives of our children. God, we pray that you would continue to bless every home represented, be it the service to follow, the service tonight, and this week. May our lives bring you honor and glory. And we'll share praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.